So first of all, I'm just going to apologize for my artwork because all the kids in here know I cannot draw, but I'm hoping that you can at least make out that that is a tree and those are branches. So that's the first and foremost thing that we got to get settled. But we are going to be speaking today in John chapter 15, and I'm really going to speak specifically to verses 1 through 5. So if you have a Bible or your phone or whatever, I'm just going to read those first five, and I know they're going to be on the screen. And I know that you're probably in a different version than I am, so we'll just read it together. Jesus says, "I am the vine and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And I just, this is a lesson that I spoke about at a retreat this summer with a group of women. And it was so impactful to me, but kind of like a little along the way afterwards. So I just love how God has used this, "I am the vine and we are the branches." And so the story just talks about how Jesus is the vine, the one true source of life. So if we look at our tree, so I kind of want you to get a visual of yourself today as I talk, and kind of mentally, or if you've got paper and pencil and you want to draw it out, to draw your tree. And so if we see Jesus as the vine or the tree trunk, and we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener or the vine grower. And so Jesus says the branches are spiritually alive if we are connected to the vine. If we are connected to him, we are spiritually alive. And as long as we are connected to Jesus, then the power of the Holy Spirit can flow in and through us as we walk out that spiritual life. Jesus is the vine, the unique and only source of life that satisfies. It is not wealth. It is not fame. It is not comfort, physical pleasure, or entertainment. And sometimes we only see Jesus as Savior. And that is true. But we miss that we have to be daily connected with him and interact with him. It's interesting, though, that the text goes right into the second verse where it says in John 15:2, "He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make more fruit." Now, the fruitless branch is removed. And if you like yard work like me, or maybe you don't, it makes sense. If the branch is dead, we remove it. It seems easy and painless. It's the next piece that seems just a little bit more uncomfortable to us. That he removes and he prunes the fruitful branch to make even more fruit. And every branch he wants to bear more fruit. And I think we just kind of get caught up in that, and it makes us just a little bit nervous. But the Father, you see, he doesn't want to settle for little fruit. He wants you to have more. He wants it to be better. He has great things in store for us. Fullness, fruitfulness in our lives. It might be a little painful, but in the end, there will be even more fruit produced. And so this summer, I asked them, all the ladies, to go off and draw their tree. And I said, you be as honest as possible. I'm not going to look at your tree, and you don't have to share it. But I just want to write some things down that, for me, were impactful. So if I'm looking at my tree, I'm writing things like family and job and ministry and friends. And then I'm going to go a little bit further and I'm going to write behaviors. And I'm going to write exercise. And maybe you write words that just fit into where you are, positions that you held. And so all of these are part of me. All of these things are a part of my life that are connected to Jesus. And so what he's saying is he prunes away the things in our lives that are bearing fruit because he wants to bear even more fruit. Outwardly, it looks to some of us that God is decreasing our blessing. And then we totally misinterpret it, feeling like he doesn't care about us. But God wants us to be more fruitful. That's just who he is. The Father prunes us because he loves us. He doesn't do it as a punishment. He prunes us because he loves us, because he wants it to work for greater fullness in our lives and ultimately for his glory. What will it look like? I don't know. It will look different in all of our lives. It may be a loss of money for some of you. It may be a loss of relationships, career opportunities, ministry, influence, power, position, because he knows what that distracting piece is in your life, and he wants to prune it. It may be the time that you devote to hobbies or talents. Maybe they're just too excessive, and he wants to draw you back because he wants you to experience more fruit. And I think we live in a society, in a culture that says bigger is better. You know, be more, do more, make more, have bigger positions. I know that we all know that and we all read those things. But it diminishes the ability for us to connect with Jesus at such a deeper level. And sometimes more of a good thing, even when it's good, more of a good thing becomes a distraction to what God wants to do in and through us. And I think the natural reaction to these things, obviously, is, well, for me, is why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this? And instead, Jesus calls us to see the hand of God, the hand of the gardener, the vine grower. Because he's gently, lovingly pruning back those parts of our lives that need pruned, so that we can produce more fruit in our season or in our circumstance. For me this year and going through this was the question I asked myself, God, what are you doing and what are you saying? Because he doesn't just prune us and then, you know, like be on your way. He has a purpose and a meaning and a plan for us. And so I wanted to know, and as I got a little bit more into this abide and remain and this connectedness, I wanted to hear what he was doing and what he was saying to me. You see, he oversees the health and the growth and the protection of the vineyard. He is passionate about us. He wants to train and provide things and protect us, putting us in his direction and bringing us to the fullness of who he wants us to be. Jesus says that God prunes the branches that bear fruit to allow there to be more fruit. In my initial experience with pruning, and I like to be outside, I'm not a whiz at it, but when we moved here, I brought a mum plant with me, and I had mums all around my Victorian house in Indiana, and I loved it, and I wanted to bring that with us. And you know, since then it's grown and spread. But what I did know about mums is that they bloom in the fall, and in spring, and probably if I would go out and cut all the dead off of there right now, there would be little patches of green that are going to be coming up. But I know that I want those to be blooming in the fall. And so on a regular basis, I have to go out and prune back that mum. Because if I don't, it's going to bloom way before its time. And so that's kind of how I'm looking at this with our own lives. You know, as that mum gets beautiful and it's green and it's growing, and it makes no sense for me to cut it back. But because I know that the blooms need to come in the fall, that's what I need to do. You see, God knows what he needs to do in our lives, and so he prunes us. It may not make sense, but he's doing it for our good and for his glory. You see, fruit bearing, it's not a matter of being weak or strong or good or bad or brave or cowardly or experienced or inexperienced, whatever gifts or accomplishments that we have. We can't produce fruit if we're not attached to the vine. We can't produce a life-giving fruit if we are not connected, if we are not abiding, if we're not remaining in Jesus. It's just not possible. And so sometimes I think, and I do, that we can bear fruit all by ourselves. We think about a season, you know, a couple years ago or whatever it is that, oh man, remember when I did that and that was so good and God used it. And then we, for a minute, forget that he was the one that did that in our lives. And so we forget that he's the one that produced that fruit. And so I'm talking a lot about fruit, and I don't mean fruit that we eat. I mean fruit that is that spiritual life that flows in and through us. The spiritual life that produces spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. You see, we bear this fruit inwardly in our character, and then it comes out outwardly in our ministries, in our workplace, in our lives, so that we can show the image of Christ. In Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. These are the outcome of the Spirit's presence in our lives. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is what produces this fruit. When we're connected, the Spirit flows in and through us. And the Holy Spirit seeks to transform us from the inside out, making us more like Jesus. And that is who God has created us for and intended for us. He inspires us to obey and to respond, empowers us by the renewing of our minds and our hearts and our emotions, and then our desires. And then they come all into agreement with his. Verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So I'm going to go back and forth between remain and abide and connected. It's all the same, whatever your version is. But as we abide in Christ, it says he abides in us. And when he abides in us, Christ is evident in and through us. The fruit then is being Christ-like. The church, you and me, we are the body of Christ. And I believe that Christ is evident in and through our lives. And he is seen as we reflect his character. It's not anything that we are going to do on our own. Being fruitful, it's displaying what Christ is doing in us. I think about yesterday, if you were here and we talked about practicing the ways of Jesus, this is just exactly, you know, when that Holy Spirit is flowing in us and through us, and then our that image of Christ comes out, and then we're able to do the things that he has done and he has taught us to do. Apart from him, we can't do anything. Oswald Chambers writes, there is no condition in which we cannot abide. And John speaks about this abiding love. And Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain, abide in my love. God's word is clear that we are called to be transformed into the image of Christ. Fruit is then produced. It's not by trying. It's by abiding. And the more we abide, the more fruit we bear, and the more we are like the image of Christ. It comes naturally. As we abide, it's not something that we have to work for, that we have to agonize over, that we have to struggle with. The vine, Jesus, just brings it about naturally. And when we abide in Christ, we are at the center of God's will for our lives. When we abide in Christ, He opens our eyes to see the things that God is doing. Abiding is not a place of doing. It's a place of being. And for my personality, my first thought always is, what can I do? What do I need to do? What can we do to fix it? You know, I'm a do. And so it's really hard for me to get my mind around this concept. I need to abide in Christ. So what do I need to do? I mean, that was like the first question. Abiding is being. And so I just had to be. I just had to be connected. We can't produce His likeness if we can't abide and remain and stay connected. But the message I think that we constantly get is that we have so much power within us. We have so much strength within us that we can do great things. And so we get that mindset, and it's not what Jesus is teaching us. He instructs us that we can't do anything apart from Him. So if we're not connected, we can't draw from His strength and His truth and His life. And if you look at all 17 verses of that chapter, Jesus says the word abide and remain 11 times. And I think He's trying to make a pretty powerful point there. I believe that He is saying to us, it's not about the doing, it's about the being. And it's about being connected to Him, being connected to the vine. And when we have a problem with our relationship with Jesus, and I know I have said it, you know, to accountability people, and I'm just like, I'm really struggling with my relationship with Christ. It isn't because He's not there. When we struggle with our relationship with Christ, it's not because He's not there. It's because we're not remaining. We aren't connected to Him. He doesn't want us to do more for Him. He just wants us to be with Him more. And when we are with Him more, it is inspiring to us than to go out and do the things that He has called us to do in the kingdom. Jesus is that abiding place for us. He's the only one that we can receive this spiritual life and strength to be more like Him. And when we enter into that place of abiding, then we enter into this deepest union and fellowship. And maybe some of us have never experienced that ever. But for me, when I did this, it was just like this process of learning to abide and enter into this union with Christ that I have never been before. When we abide, I think there are three things, at least for me, that was important. Talking to God on a daily basis, trusting His word, and obeying His leadership. I read this article. I don't even know where it's from, but I thought it was so good. So let me read it to you. It says, to have His words remaining in us, to share His mind and His will, we are to be caught up in the focus of God's will. We need to pray for His purposes rather than our own selfish desires. Jesus's purposes have been to reveal God and share His life and love so we can be brought into union with Him. God will answer our prayers as we live according to our life in Christ and His life in us. And then I love this by John Piper. It says, not to abide in Jesus would mean that we would stop believing that we are loved by Jesus. We look at our circumstances, our brokenness, our woundedness, our abandonment, and we conclude that we are not loved by Jesus anymore. And that is just the opposite of abiding in His love. So abiding in His love means continuing to believe moment by moment that we are loved. And I love this in verse 9. Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you also. So abide in my love. And if you go further down, it says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce everlasting fruit. And I love even at the end where his command to us is to love each other, to show that love to each other. And I think sometimes when we start thinking about the pruning process and we start thinking about it being a punishment because he prunes us, because he loves us, we miss that. And then it maybe takes us away from that abiding place. But here's the deal. It's not anything that we do. You know, I'm thankful that God would want to remove things in my life that aren't healthy. And I'm thankful if there are things out here that he needs to bring back so that I can focus more here. Or maybe I'm too much here. I don't know. But it's his responsibility, not mine. And I'm so glad because it takes away the pressure. Because I think sometimes we think, hey, things are going really great in my job. I mean, they're really going well. And maybe that's not how God sees it, because he wants you to be more fruitful and he wants you to be even more full. And he wants to use you in a way that you can't see it. And so he begins to do that work. And then we can step back and we can rejoice in the work that he has done. But we get caught up in just thinking, what are you doing? And I think, too, it's obvious when he prunes back the things that aren't healthy, but sometimes he's pruning back that good because we just miss the spiritual joy that comes along with it. Maybe you're missing out on something that you don't have any idea, but we're not going to know unless we are connected here on a daily basis, that we are abiding and we are remaining here on a daily basis. I'm not saying that I have it mastered by any means, but it's a daily of me just going and saying, God, what are you doing and what are you saying? I believe it's like this incredible reality that we could live in. You know, if we just kind of let all that go by and we just rest in who God is and allow the Holy Spirit to just flow in us, and we allow God to produce fruit in us that we've never seen before, that will honor God forever. What a great reality. Our lives could become epic. And I know that we probably don't hear that word very much, but if we can press in to this lifelong journey of knowing that God longs to be deeply engaged with you, that he sees you, that he is moved by you, and that we can just remember that the quest to commune with him in abiding love, all that, he wants all that for us. He loves us deeply. He knows everything about us. God is love, and his command is to love each other. He is compassionate. He does that work in our lives gently because he loves us. And his mercies, they're new every single day. His grace is enough. He forgives. He loves us unconditionally, no matter what. And the best part is, he chose you. So, I say, may the loving hands of the Father prune you that you would produce more fruit and abide and remain and stay connected to the source of life that is Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit transform you from the inside out. That is my prayer for you and me. And like I said, in the past several months, I have seen God pruning in my own life. And in fact, it was a journey that started back in August at this retreat. And I remember journaling that weekend that God would prune the things in my life that were getting in the way, of a deeper connectedness with him. I wanted to abide in him in a brand new way. And at the end of September, I stood before you and I shared my story of my journey to wholeness and healing. And I was entering a season in my life that would forever change me. It has been the hardest thing that I have ever done. And yet, I have experienced God in a way I've never experienced him before. I've experienced freedom and healing along the way for maybe the first time in my life. God has done and will do the things that he started in me for good. He is faithful. He will see it to the end. I believe that. And I am trusting in that. And he will restore me and he will use it for his glory. I want to thank you personally for your prayers and your encouragement, for the cards I received, the letters, the texts, the emails, the flowers. It was so encouraging and I am blessed. I don't have words to tell you how this community and how this staff has supported me, and it's overwhelmingly humbling. My season of healing isn't over. Darn it. I have struggled weekly to do the ministry that God has called me to do at Skyline. When God called us here 6 years ago, I had no idea what he had in store for my family, for this church, and for my life, but it has been wonderful. It's been an honor and a privilege for me to serve the church and to be the children's director here at Skyline, working with your kids. It's been amazing. And I have loved sharing with them about the love of God. It's been a joy working with you as parents, watching you spiritually lead your families. And the volunteers, probably everybody in this room has spent at least one Sunday next door. And I couldn't do that ministry next door if it weren't for you, truly. So I just want to thank you for your time and your commitment to serve the children here. I have made the decision to step down and resign from my position as children's director, effective at the end of February. And I hope and I pray that you understand that it was not a decision that I made lightly. It was not easy or without seeking God for guidance, without months of prayer and counsel. I am in a place where I can't lead effectively. And I don't want to get in the way of what God has for this church and for these children. And I want to go back to verse 2, and it says, Jesus says that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to bear more fruit. And I believe that God is pruning this position from my life to take what has been good and he's going to make it even better. Better than I could ever ask or imagine. And I believe he's going to do that here and in my life, in the life of my family. And I know that he already has someone prepared. And I don't even worry about it. And I'm excited to see what is going to happen. And I am stepping out in faith. So if you know me, this is a very scary place for me. I would never walk away from something without having something already in place. Already controlled, got it done. That's not the case here. This is huge. And I have this deep peace and faith that I have never had before. That God is leading me to do this. in that peace that surpasses all understanding is how I feel about it. And I trust that God has something even better for me as well. So this journey of trusting and total dependence on God, I know will be a little scary, probably a lot some days, but I know it's going to be good. So first and foremost, I'm asking that you would just pray for the person that God has prepared to lead the children. And secondly, I would just pray that you would just ask that he would open doors that only he could open in my life. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve here. To serve this church, this community, and your children. And for that, I am deeply blessed. And I love you. Thank you.
Just to kind of, first of all, I want to thank Kathy for not only 6 years of just incredible selfless service every week with our kids, but the influence she's had just on a daily basis on our staff and on our lives. And I thought of this verse. When I think of Kathy, she probably wouldn't maybe say this about herself, but I think of courage, one of the most courageous people I know, and how she's fighting for peace and wholeness and health and strength in her life and in her family. And she's been an incredible example, I think, to all of us of what it looks like to live, right? To live life, not just receive life and take what comes, but actually to I'm reminded of the verse where Jesus says the kingdom of God comes by force and the forceful take hold of it, right? It's a weird verse. It's hard to think of. What does that mean? But I think part of that means the people who really get the life of Jesus are the ones who take hold, right? The ones who grab it and say, like, I'm not going to let go of these promises that God gives me of freedom, of wholeness, of peace. Like, I want that and I'm going to chase it, right? No matter where it goes. And I've seen that in Kathy's life. And so Kathy, thank you for being just an inspiration to us and for allowing us to walk with you. This verse in Joshua, as I spoke of courage, when I thought of you this morning, I thought of this verse. The Lord said to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Be not frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a cool thing to abide in Jesus. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then Jesus makes the promise at the end of Matthew. And he says, lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. What a promise. And so thank you again. And so as Kathy said, we've been processing this. We've been walking with her for the last few months, praying. I mean, legitimately, when she said praying, believe me, Kathy has been praying. Her family has been praying. All of her friends have been praying. We've been praying for the Lord to move, and he has. And this has been one of the most peaceful decisions that I've ever seen in terms of a transition of her just saying, like, this is right. And everyone around her saying, you're right. This is right. And I think it's one of those where it's like, we're going to miss Kathy next door every Sunday. Our kids are. But also, one of the things I told her, I said, the most selfish thing I could do is to say, you should stay. Because I think you're an amazing children's pastor. Because my hope is for Kathy's peace and wholeness and joy, even if that means, you know, Lena has to go a little while without Miss Kathy next door, right? And so, so Kathy, we love you. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of go on a process of looking for a children's pastor. And it's going to be a tough job to fill, to stand up to the standard that Kathy has set. And I can just say, for a church plant to go 6 years and have this kind of children's ministry is phenomenal. I mean, it literally is just an amazing thing. So I'm so thankful. So would you please take a moment before you leave today, and we'll do this over the coming months, just continuing to thank her. we're making it as good of a transition as we can as a church. And one of the things I'll just say is, like, if you haven't been here very often, we're not super corporate, right? So usually when somebody resigns, it's like somebody else reads their letter, right? And so what we've just said is, like, when somebody transitions out of kind of family life, we want them to say with their own words, and we want to support them. We want to walk with them. And so we've dealt with this like a family member, and we've let Kathy tell her story and tell her her heart. And so I hope that's good for you. It's tremendous for me, because I think it's what the church should look like, is a family. And so I just want to pray for Kathy. And we're gonna close. The band's gonna come up, and we're gonna sing, and we're gonna take communion like we always do. And what I'm reminded every week when we take communion at the end is that the point of all the things that we do here is it's never about a person, right? It's not about a pastor. It's not about a ministry. It's not about a place. I guess I should say it is about a person. It's about Jesus, right? And so we're reminded that what binds us together is his body broken and his blood shed for us that makes us a family. That actually the act of communion is what's allowed us to walk with Kathy the way we have, because we're not a business. We're not an organization. We're a family bound together by the love of Christ. And so we're going to sing and we're going to pray. And if you would say a prayer for Kathy, say a prayer for our church as we just move forward in faith. Anyways, I just love this place. I love, man, the courage of the people here to walk in faith. And Kathy, again, I'm just going to keep saying thank you, but, really thank you so much for your courage, your bravery, for Brian and Kyle, Nick as well. Thank you so much. And we'll get around to more celebratory thank yous in a few weeks probably, but so we're just going to pray. God, we love you. Lord, I'm thankful that you sent us the Lovelace family some years ago. God, that you moved upon their hearts to move to a far distant land to serve you, knowing that if they went, that you would be with them. So thank you for their faith, for their trust and their obedience to follow your voice. God, thank you for these years of ministry that have they've just been bearing fruit in our kids' lives and our families. And so, God, we just are so grateful for their family. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill them with such a wisdom and a peace about their future, about that you are in control, God. You are guiding, you are leading, you are calling, you're drawing them into a place that is good, a good land full of good things. And so, God, we thank you for that, that you never move us somewhere without purpose. Even if it's a difficult place, God, it's always for the purpose of the higher good, the greater good. And Lord, we just love how we've seen here this morning that you still speak to people. You're alive and active. The Holy Spirit's moving in this place. And so, God, would you give us all, each one of us, ears to hear this morning your Spirit, as Kathy said, the pruning in our own lives, God, that we would see it not as punishment, Lord, but as new life getting ready to take place. And so this morning, God, we give you glory and honor and praise for all these good things. And God, we worship you, and we're going to praise you. We're going to give you everything that we have, God. And we're going to meet you this morning at your table to partake in your body and your blood that unites us together, that gives us eternal life, that makes us a family. And so in Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet, we're going to sing, and as you feel led, you can come down and